Well, hello. If you are watching me on YouTube, or if you're listening to me, you can tell my voice sounds a little messed up. I've been sick all week. Woke up on New Year's Day, 2023, with the sickness, and it's been kicking my ass all week. As of this recording, it is January 6th, 2023. And I am just starting to feel better. If you're also watching me on YouTube, you'll notice that my hair is super blonde. Real, real blonde. I asked my stylist to go bold and she fucking did. This is my first episode in a while, and I wanted to take an opportunity to share with you some of the harder lessons that I've learned over the last 2 months. Wow. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, there's this saying that goes around that says, entrepreneurship is, I don't know, something like the craziest personal development that you can do. So is divorce. So is the process on so many different levels, judicial, legal, emotional, financial, mental, physical, spiritual, like, and in every way, it's just a crazy experience. Hard. I'll be sipping my Gen Mai Cha tea because I love it and it makes me feel a little bit better. And this has been a rough couple months. November and December of 2022 really challenged me. It just really challenged me. So I want to share, you know, I talk a lot about human design, and one of the ways that I'm designed is to make mistakes and learn from my mistakes. What's ironic about that is that I spent the majority of my youth, my childhood, my youth, my early teens, my early 20s, being so petrified of making mistakes that I would just not do anything. Or if I made mistakes, I would just get so angry. I'd be so angry that I wasn't perfect, that I looked at other people and I didn't see any of their flaws or mistakes. And here I am, 52 years old, learning that I'm actually supposed to make mistakes as a part and as a process of my learning. Yay! Ooh. I mean, I am at a point where I feel like, wow. Hindsight is 2020. When you're on the other side of something, or you're in the process of going, you know, transitioning from one phase of life to another. If you can stay present, what I'm learning is, if I can stay in my body, if I can not do the things that I want to do to avoid feeling any sort of pain or discomfort. So if I can actually stay in the muck, the mud, the hurt, the pain, if I can not stay in it, not stay in it to wallow in it, not like roll around in it and be like, oh, woe is me. Not that. But to be in it, feel what it feels like to be in pain, sad, grieving, you know, experiencing the loss. If I can stay in that, and be in that, I can actually learn something from that. There's a lesson for me there. There's something for me to get. And if I'm here to make mistakes and fail and like use that to help other people, like there's a whole lot of relief around that. Like, oh, I'm not fucked up. Like there's nothing inherently broken about me. Ah, this is how I'm designed. This is my path. This is part of my, you know, way that I move through this thing called human being and human doing and human lifing. Like, ah, okay. And this is why I fucking love human design. This is why I love human design, because it turns lights on where before there was confusion or darkness or even just self-judgment, right? How many times we compare ourselves to the way other people do life and the way it looks for other people. So I'm designed to make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and then teach from those mistakes. If you've been around me any length of time, you've heard any of my other podcast episodes, hopefully that's the message that you receive, because that is the message that I am here to deliver. So I'm just going to apologize once. I'm going to try to apologize once and not again for the remainder of this recording. Apologize for my voice and my sniffling. And, you know, I bring the real. If nothing else, you know that I bring the real fucking me to the party. I will say that this past Christmas was the hardest. I mean, worst Christmas of my adult life, because it was the first as separating. Fracturing as a fracturing family, as a not, you know, I don't mean fracturing as in like a bad thing. Like we're splitting, right? We're no longer a unit. We're no longer a unit of four. We're a unit of three and three. Wow. I just got that. I just got how beautiful that is. Right? So we went from a family of four, a unit of four, to now a unit of three and a unit of three, which seems much more abundant to me. I mean, if that's an option to look at it that way, why not? We're now a unit. We're now two units of three, which makes up six. I don't know. I like it. That just came in awesome. Fuck yeah. I love it. So it was hard because we had made plans to, my ex and I have decided that for this first year, we are going to spend all the major holidays together, the four of us. Thanksgiving was our first. It was here with my family, and we live here in Arizona, and my family lives here in Arizona, so he's been around my family this entire time. I haven't been around his family. So there was a lot of trepidation for me traveling to California to spend Christmas with his family, because I didn't know what they were thinking of me. I didn't know how they felt about me. I didn't know if there was anger or, you know, sadness or, you know, they were feeling some kind of something towards me. I didn't know, because we haven't really communicated. It was very painful to tell his mom and his aunt and his other brother over FaceTime that we were divorcing. We did that back in, I want to say August. We did that together, and it was heart-wrenching. And it was heart-wrenching to see. I had a feeling. I had a feeling this would happen. And today, today I signed the, I don't know what it's called, the legal papers. I was, when you do a divorce, there's a lawsuit that's filed against you. You know, one person is the, there's the legal term for it. I don't know what it is, petitioner, and then I'm the respondent. And in the courts, it's a lawsuit. Like, you get served papers. And so it's so impersonal. You know, it's like, it's so just like devoid of any humanity. You know, our judicial system, our medical system, our governments, it's just devoid of humanity. It's devoid of any sort of, it's robotic. It's anything but personal. It's anything but connected. And I just, you know, it's interesting because there's emotions I just wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting to, you know, feel such sadness and grief. And every time it comes up, I allow it. I allow it. That's literally what I teach. So here it is. I was talking about when we told my mother-in-law over FaceTime, and she just started crying. And of course, I started crying. And we hadn't talked since. And I didn't know what I was walking into, going to her home with both of his aunts, his brothers, my sister-in-law. I don't know. It's not been communicated. I'm going to pause here and clean myself up for a second. Okay. This is the real deal, guys. Like, I think this is where the beauty we find we cannot bypass the difficult emotions. I stand in this, like, convicted in this truth. This is something that runs through my body. It is unequivocal. There's no doubt that I have in any part of me. Around how important, vitally important it is for us to feel these shitty, hard, uncomfortable, devastating emotions. When we're alone, when we're with the people that we love, when we're with people who are safe people, and for someone like me, on any public platform, I'm just not going to pretend that I'm okay when I'm not okay. I've never been able to do that. And I always thought that meant that there was something wrong with me. God, Kristen, why can't you just hold it together? We're not supposed to hold it together when we're falling apart. We're just not. We're just not. Divorce is devastating. Death is excruciating. Loss is heartbreaking. And this, I mean, this is everything that I teach. I'm in the eye of the storm, people. So of course I'm going to break down. Of course I'm going to. I'd be a liar if I sat here and tried to choke back tears about what's happening in my life right now. I'd be a hypocrite. Do as I say, not as I do. So we'd FaceTimed in August, and that really was the last time that I had spoken to his family other than his aunt who lives here in Arizona. Hadn't spoken to his brother. We don't speak unless we see each other, you know, at holidays anyway, really. And I had so much trepidation. I had so much like uncertainty about what I was walking into. I didn't know. So I felt I was guarded. There was apprehension. I was nervous. And I knew that I was going to break down while I was there. I knew that I was going to feel all kinds of things. And I'll just say my experience of his family is they are not emotional. His mom, my mother-in-law, is. I think that's why I love her. I think that's why I feel safe with her, because she is emotional. But it's interesting because she's emotional and then she, you know, it's like this, I got to hold it together. Everyone else is like, Let me just say this. If you're around me and we're having any sort of conversation, it's going to go deep. And if it goes deep, it's going to hit a nerve. And if it hits a nerve, it's going to cause an emotional reaction. Like my clients know this. I said, you know, if you're not experiencing some emotional reaction or response, you're not going deep enough. So that's what you get with me. So, you know, walking in, I knew, okay, this is the last time probably I'll be at this house. I stayed at her house. And this will be the last. Like, so everything is the first or the last. You know, it's like, oh, this is the last time this is going to happen. Or this is probably the last time I'll be, you know, in this house, staying in this house for a Christmas holiday. And also the trepidation of, I don't know how they feel about me. So I get there and everyone's pretty much fine. But it was just, I mean, some things occurred that I'm not ready to talk about. Some things happened that I'm still processing. I'm still working through. I still have very strong feelings about, and I'm not willing to talk about them when I still have very strong feelings about them. So I'm choosing to table that until I've processed and I'm on the other side of my emotions, they're negative, harsh emotions. So here's what I know about anger. It's usually covering up some other sort of softer emotion, like sadness, like grief, like loss. And I'm still working through the anger part. So I get to do that on my own. because I'm still in a blaming sort of a place with it. That's enough said about that. So Christmas was hard, and it was just hard. And then we got stuck in California with the Southwest grounded and canceled like thousands of flights. Ours was one of them. So the plan was, my ex took them up for the first week of their winter break. Christmas was right in the middle. I went up Christmas Eve, was there Christmas Day. We were leaving the day after Christmas, the 26th, on a plane. I had driven my car to Phoenix Airport, parked it. I was like, it's 3 days. It's fine. And we got grounded. Our flight got canceled. And damn, all I wanted to do was, I wanted to be done. I wanted to come home. I wanted to be with my girls. I wanted to, I was in this uncomfortable situation for, 48 plus 12. For the love of God. Don't make me do math. 60. Whatever. 3 days. How many hours is 3 days? Whatever. 3 days. I'm trying to do fancy math in my head. You're all laughing at me too. If you're not laughing, there's something wrong with you. You need to start laughing. So I was done. And our flight wasn't until like 7 p.m. It was like one of the last flights out on the day after Christmas. I'd even looked at like a couple days earlier. I'd looked at like, maybe I should just get on an earlier flight. You know what? Probably should have done that. Our flight gets canceled. We find out around 1 p.m. And I'm not in a good place with my ex. And all I want to do is get home. And so I start coming up with, what can I get? What can I do? I look at flights of other airlines from $700 one way, one ticket. We're talking three tickets. $700 to $1,800 one way. Probably like multiple stops too. I probably have to go to New York first. And then I'm like, oh my God. I call the Enterprise rent a car. Nothing. I can't rent a car to take me from San Jose, California to Phoenix, Arizona. I can't even rent a car locally. There's nothing. And then finally, my ex decided, I let him know what was happening. He lent us his car he had driven. He was staying for another week. So we drove, and I hate driving. I mean, I hate that drive. It's a 12-hour drive. I hate sitting. I hate driving. It's uncomfortable. But I was grateful. So grateful. So we just split it up. I mean, we left at like 4 o'clock on Monday. We got to Bakersfield at like 9, had a great night's sleep. I did not sleep Christmas Day. One day I'll tell you the story. Okay. When I'm on the other side of it, I'm going to tell you about the story and what I learned from that story. I'm still not in a place where I've learned anything from it. So, and then the next morning we woke up the 27th, and then drove home. And it was totally doable. And we were really grateful to be home. I think it's hysterical that I'm recording a podcast episode with just like whatever voice this is that I have. It's like a emphysema, a chronic smoker, COPD, just, old man voice. But hey, I've really been wanting to chat, talk, share, connect with you. And, and here, I'm being discerning in my mind about what I want to share, what is appropriate for me to share. And if you follow me on Instagram, it's @thekristenlina. is my Instagram. If you follow me, you'll notice that over the last couple of days, I have been posting about people pleasing, about toxic happiness. And this is all because what I've learned, what I'm learning coming, you know, like getting to the other side of being married, there will be a whole new chapter of what it looks like to co-parent. But what I'm learning from the separation, you know, after 20 years with this person, is how devastating it is when two people are not aligned in their definitions of communication. And what I'll elaborate on that, how I communicate is almost the opposite of how he communicates. How I define disclosure or the telling the truth or being honest is on the opposite end of the spectrum of how he defines it. And what I'm working through right now is that his way is not wrong. Ooh, his way is not wrong. And my way is not right. And at the same time, the things that I'm speaking about are about the level at which two people can be connected over time. Like they can have a thriving relationship where they're actually coming together, not moving apart. It takes something. Being on almost on this side of that relationship, 20 years together, what happened, you know, is slowly over time, we just kept going like this. And the ways that we view communication and the ways that we view telling the truth are radically misaligned from each other. So you know, I'm like not good, bad, not right, wrong. I don't like to operate in those realms. I don't like to operate in good, bad, right, wrong. Because I don't see life that way. I don't see the world that way. I see my view, your view. And I believe there's always a way to come together. You and I don't have to have the same view. We do not have to have this. If we had to have the same view, we would have been extinct a long fucking time ago. Long time ago. I believe we have to have a commitment to understanding, listening, and communicating our view and holding a space that their view is valid. The other person's view is valid. I'm being so cryptic. I just have to be cryptic at this point, you guys, because at this point I do. So if you've noticed on my Instagram, the last couple of days, I have been talking a lot about people pleasing. People pleasing is actually lying. People pleasing is also a trauma response. So I am not bashing people pleasers. People pleasers have decided that it is safer for them. It's safer for them to give up their own needs and not cause disturbance because they probably were raised in massive amounts of disturbance and all they wanted was like peace and safety. And I can see how that played out in my marriage. I can see how that plays out with a lot of people that I talk to. So I'm not shaming, bashing at all people pleasers. I am not a people pleaser. I am direct as fuck, bordering on harsh. I will admit that all day long. And I crave that with the people close to me. That feels safe to me. Isn't that nuts? Isn't it nuts that avoidance and deflection and what's that word where you're trying to, it's like a starts with a C, it doesn't matter, it's not going to come to me, where you're trying to like keep the peace, smooth everything over, not cause any waves, not ruffle any feathers. That feels like safety to other people. People who are conflict avoiders, people pleasers, peacemakers, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not judging that in any form or fashion. What I'm saying is, when that happens at the expense of communicating, like how communicating your own feelings, that shit will be toxic over time for you. It will also be toxic for the other person. If you pretend like everything's okay, but really it's not, and you're not willing to have the conversations to say it's not okay, it will be catastrophic for your relationships. It might be catastrophic for, I say catastrophic not to be dramatic, but like catastrophic, like it will not work. It will end in demise. So I'm not bashing people pleasers. I'm just saying, unless two people pleasers are together, right? That might be a good comp. That might be a good mix. I don't know. But someone like me who needs direct, hit me between the eyes communication. Tell me exactly how you feel. What's going on? It's devastating to me to be with someone like that. Because what it creates for me is a lack of safety and a lack of trust. When there's inconsistency with your words and the energy or actions around your words, I don't feel safe. I will not come towards you. I will put up some kind of barrier. It won't happen probably right away. It'll happen over time. All of this stuff, you guys, all of the things that occurred in my marriage happened slowly over time. There was some, and this is none of, I'll say it fucking again. This is not his fault. This is not his fault. And what I'm doing with the pain that I am experiencing now, what I'm doing is I'm looking back and saying, okay, Kristen, that shit didn't work. Your relationship broke down. What did you learn? What did you get from this? How can you take this pain, learn from it, and do something different the next time? Guys, that's pretty much our only option. Is it not? Is it not? We fuck up because we're human. We make mistakes because we're human. We hurt other people because we're human. Learn from it. What did you learn? I learned I require being with someone who has the same relationship to communication and the truth that I do, or something close, please. I require it. I require from the people in my life to not have to guess if what they're saying, like if the words coming out of their mouth are the truth. Can I trust that what you're saying is really what's happening for you? I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. And also, you know, when I come on here, I'm having a conversation with you. And so it is cathartic and healing for me. It's healing for me to, it's not comfortable. I had full on sweaty pits when I was crying. It's not comfortable, but it's healing. And that's what I'm here for. I'm not here for the bullshit. I'm not here for it. So what I learned, I have a relationship with honesty and the truth and the way that I communicate that I have expected other people to reciprocate. I've expected other people in my life to be the same. And that may not be a fair expectation. It wasn't a fair expectation, but I didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. You can't see what you can't see. It's called a blind spot. I just had this assumption that everyone had the same relationship with the truth that I did. They had the same commitment to direct, honest, and forthright communication that I do. Those were my assumptions. I was wrong. So I get to take that. I get to take that and be really, really, really clear and also discerning. I will tell you, one of the mistakes that I made in the beginning of our relationship, and I don't know if I can look at it now and be like, oh, I should have, but I didn't because I didn't have the capacity at the time. I should have called forward the inconsistencies. I should have said, you know, you're saying this, but I'm getting this. And would that have done anything? I don't know. Would that have changed anything? Fuck, I don't know. The only way that I know is going fucking through it. And looking back on it and being like, well, that didn't work. Oh, shit. Well, next time. And so the work is mine. The work is mine to do. What is my work to do? Knowing where my expectations are and communicating them. Then that the next step after communicating the expectations, like, listen, I don't mean expectations like this. Let's go. I mean expectations like this is what I require. I know myself enough to know that I require, right, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. I require this. I teach requirement. I teach this concept in my course, Radical Authenticity. Requirements are boundaries. And I know now what is an absolute, unequivocal, non-negotiable requirement for my partners. I know it now. How do I know it? Because I went through not having it. I went through not establishing the boundary. I established the boundary. I went through not enforcing the boundary. I went through not having the discussion, the conversations to say, hey, there's an inconsistency here. I'm feeling you're saying one thing, but you're acting another. You're saying one thing, but your actions don't line up. So what is it? That's what I've learned. And I get to hold myself accountable. I'm the one who just kind of was like, oh, well, I'll just go look at all these other things that are really great. And you know what? I'm not regretful about it. I have my beautiful children out of this relationship. I learned a shit ton about myself out of this relationship. All of it. All the tragedy the grief, the sadness, all of the like pain that I'm going through. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I'm a better person for having gone through everything that I went through. Everything that I'm going through right now, I'm a better person for it. I can see like there's a gift in all of it. There's a gift in everything. Every bit of pain that we go through, every lie, I use a little air quotes. Everything is a chance for us to write our course. Every conversation is a chance to create something else, something new, something truer, something more in alignment. And alignment doesn't mean that you have to be like me. Alignment just means, are we aligned? Are we still aligned? Are we aligned after all these years? And this is the thing about long-term relationships. Fuck. I'm not even halfway the same person I was when we got together when I was 32. Are you kidding? I have literally like transformed multiple times over. That's a topic for another episode. Happy 2023, people. I'm happy to have this platform. Like this platform feels like the most safe space for me to be like authentic, to be me, to say all the things. I don't feel free to say all the things that I want to say on social media simply because it's someone else's platform. This is mine. Right? This is the beauty of the podcast platform. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear your feelings. I'd love to hear your emotions. Love it. I live for the emotions. This is where I believe human beings connect with each other, our emotional body, our feelings. This is our heart. So message me on Instagram at @thekristenlina and let me know how you're doing. Let me know how you're doing. I love holding space for people. It's the best shit ever. Happy 2023. I love you. I really do. And I'll see you next time.